The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Today's world news, what it means, where it's taking us.
I bring you the one and only possible message of world peace.
This is a message of hope, tremendous hope. And he said unto me, you must prophesy again.
The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Almost every American family knows the pain when a loved one is diagnosed with a serious illness. Here tonight is a special man, beloved by millions of Americans, who just received a stage 4 advanced cancer diagnosis. This is not good news, but what is good news is that he is the greatest fighter and winner that you will ever meet. Rush Limbaugh. Thank you for your decades of tireless devotion to our country.
5 years ago today, hard to believe it's been that long. Of course, he was on the air, a real pioneer in radio, although Herbert Armstrong is overlooked in that way, even long before Rush came along. But in any event, this is an anniversary of Rush Limbaugh's death, and for 30 years he was on the air, so many valuable clips from over the years. But just, I think, even thinking of the timing, you know, or just what has transpired in 5 years, he died just at the start, basically, of President Trump being silenced. It was just a few weeks after January 6th. You know, you had all these radicals basically saying that Donald Trump was going to stay in office even though they stole the election. I mean, look at all that was happening at that time. What a dark time for America. Entering into that time of bitter affliction and a fake presidency. And the dear leader working behind the scenes. He made an appearance over the weekend, as you saw on yesterday's program, at the NBA All-Star Game, and then he sat down with the interview with another swooner. We'll get to that a little bit later. But how things have changed. Obama's been silenced. President Trump obviously has a voice now. You wonder what Rush Limbaugh would have said after July 13, the Butler assassination attempt, and everything leading up to President Trump's return. And the fact that, we were saying it from the very beginning. There were quite a few that came along a little bit later. You know, after Butler, President Trump himself, God intervened to save me. God has a job for me to do. 5 years. It's interesting to just think about all that God has done. I mean, if you don't see God in the picture, you just think, well, there have been some twists and turns and some unexpected developments and so on. But 5 years, it was dark, bitter affliction for 4 years. And Obama talking about, you know, how decent his administration was, and he's just trying to bring people together. It's so easy for these fakes to just act like, it was perfect back then. You know, when I was over ICE, every ICE agent was perfectly righteous. Today, not so much. Because, well, Trump, the bad orange man, evil, the orange Hitler. Obama comes along. And, yeah, so easy to revise history, isn't it? Because these people are just about words. They sound like an angel of light. And the thing of it is, we've got all the receipts in America under attack. All the abuses of power under Obama. Everything that he got away with, the executive actions, the drone strikes on Americans. And he says words to the effect, you know, well, I guess I could have been more authoritarian like Trump, but, you know, we didn't. We were just bringing the country together. He lies. He's of his father, the devil, who lies. So much has happened. And again, if you look at God's hands, if you look at God's intervention, it's inspiring. Because you see God taking action. God said he would bring him back. And he did. He's been back now for a year. What would Rush Limbaugh think? You know, one wonders. Maybe he would be talking on the air with great frequency, not just after Butler, but, you know, right on through that, hey, God's doing something unusual here. My father would listen to him from time to time. A lot of Americans did. And he's referenced in some of our literature. This is from 2022. The media finally reports on Hunter's crimes. And of course, the rest of the story is Hunter got away with it. The crimes are there. A lot of it's on video. The receipts, I mean, all of the bribes from the Moscow mayor's wife, of all things. All of these companies connected to the CCP. Yeah, just funneling millions and millions and millions of dollars into the Biden coffers, going off to all the relatives, the family, the Biden crime family. So the media, is the media pulling the plug on Biden? We asked back in 2022. Just before he died, conservative commentator Rush Limbaugh predicted that Biden will serve at the pleasure of Barack Obama. Well, Rush was right about that. And we were saying that all along as well. If Obama gives the green light to Democrats to take Biden out, there will be ample evidence that Biden has lied about his knowledge that his family was selling his name and office with his permission. And if that's the case, then there's likely unreported money that will be found. The fake news media will temporarily become hard news media if the decision is made that Biden has to step down. If, you see, it's all dependent on the dear leader. If he throws Biden under the bus, well, then you can expect the swooners to change their tune. As it turns out, the dear leader didn't throw him under the bus. They held up the fake president all the way through, even to the point where it was crazy ridiculous. I mean, until, I guess, finally the debate. Just before, right around the same time as Butler. Again, what would Rush have been saying about all these things? He has this disastrous debate. And then finally, as if on cue, they all threw him under the bus. But, you know, it was so close to the next election. Hey, let's just move on to Kamala. Forget about the Biden crimes. And so they hitched everything to Kamala Harris, of all people. And it went from bad to worse for the Democrat Party. They lost in a landslide. Obama was silenced. And all through these 5 years, I mean, who was it that was saying Obama would be silenced? That God would have to remove him based upon what's laid out there in Amos 7? Well, that would be this church, God's work. Standing alone after January 6th. When President Trump was silenced. We played a clip not that long ago. I think it was on this program. If not, I've played it in class. But this preacher that says that President Trump was supposedly a type of Jehu. And 3 weeks before the election, he prophesied that Trump would win. 3 weeks before the 2024 election. Well, we said it right after the steal. Right after everyone, including Fox News and conservative commentators, said, hey, let's move on. Trump's history. Trump's not coming back. They didn't steal the election. Well, let's investigate it then. No, just forget about it. Just forget about it. The court case has no standing. You remember all that was going on. And now here, 5 years on, we're seeing the evidence turn up, just like we did with Hunter Biden's laptop. But who's being held to account? Nobody. Nobody. Nobody's going to prison. Nobody's been punished. I've been told clip 15 is ready. This is Rush Limbaugh on December 23rd, 2020. And he's signing off here thanking his audience for their devoted support from over the years. Clip 15.
That last call, that's reminds me how much I love all of you, how much I so appreciate everything you've meant to me and my family. You don't have any idea. I know so many people think this program has changed their lives for the better. You have no idea what you all have meant to me and my family. The day is going to come, folks, where I'm not going to be able to do this. I don't know when that is. I want to be able to do it for as long as I want to do it. I want to. But the day will come where I'm not going to be able to. And I want you to understand that even when the day comes, I'd like to be here. Because I have this sense of needing to constantly show my appreciation for all that you have done and meant to me. And I hope that the things that are in store for all of us in the coming year are certainly better than what we have endured in 2020. I don't know too many people who have enjoyed 2020. Probably some sickos out there who have, but 2021 has to be better. We're going to try to make it that way here at the EIB Network.
That was his last full year of life. I mean, what a year, as he said. Just go back to that for a moment, 2020. And he said there some sickos probably did like it because, well, they used COVID to get rid of Trump. A worldwide pandemic. And then all these connections with the CCP and Tony Fauci and friends. A dreadful year in every respect, culminating in the steal, the election steal of 2020. And there he is at the end of 2020. I hope next year's better. Well, in the next year, Trump was silenced. Trump had no voice. And it was the beginning of the dear leader's puppet presidency, Barack Obama's third term. We said in the America Under Attack, this is what the 2 Kings 14 prophecy is all about. There was no helper for Israel. Do you see any help? It says, now even Rush Limbaugh, this is in AUA, now even Rush Limbaugh, a very influential man, who was unafraid of exposing the radical left agenda, has died. There is nobody, especially in Washington, who is a helper for Israel. There's no helper. And my father says even Rush Limbaugh, taken out of the way, is significant. God was using President Trump, but leftists stole the election, and he has been politically exiled. And none of these terribly guilty elites are being prosecuted, much less convicted, or imprisoned, because even many of the prosecutors and judges are corrupt. And I'm sure that this continues even to this day, as we said last week. I mean, all the goods that that Trump's DOJ now has and the FBI under Trump now has to go after some of these criminals, but, you know, they've got to carefully examine each case and even the location of each case to see if it's in a heavily blue district or more reddish, because that makes a difference. Because there's a lot of sickos in the justice system, a lot of sick judges. And Habakkuk 1 and other passages of the Bible bring this out. Unjust judges, truth failing or falling to the ground. I mean, it's exciting in many ways, just seeing how fast time makes your head spin, I guess, in one sense. But we're 5 years closer to the return of Jesus Christ. We've seen Donald Trump's return. We've seen Obama silenced, for the most part. had another interview, as I'll play here in just a second, but we've seen so many fulfilled prophecies, and yet we see the same sins. We see sins worsening. Here you've, by our count, I think it's three, and there may be some, you know, lower profile shootings that we're not aware of. But three transgender shootings in the last 6 months? What is going on? What's happening to our nations? Yes, Jeroboam has returned. Yes, God said he would do it to prevent the name of Israel from being entirely blotted out. So he brings Jeroboam back. And of course, Jeroboam is, you know, everyone's good. Everyone's invited to the Board of Peace. You know, there's a few bad apples, those that confront me publicly, or maybe some of those on the dear leader's side. And they got the dear leader for his part over the weekend. Yeah, everything in our administration was good. Everyone was good. ICE was good. It was all good. Now, Trump is evil. Meanwhile, the evil multiplies. The evil on both sides. And our sins, the sickness on display daily. The Telegraph writes, a gunman who identified as a woman killed two people and injured three others in a high school hockey match. High school hockey. So basically another school shooting. Except this time the crazy man wearing a dress comes in and shoots up his family. The 56-year-old, thought to have been the father of one of the hockey players, shot a woman and her child in the stands at this arena before turning the gun on himself. So the woman, I guess, used to be his wife. The child was his. Two other children wounded. And this man, who now sees himself as a woman, is their father. Play clip 13.
Tonight, tragedy on the ice.
We have shots fired, multiple people down at the Witch Arena.
A shooter opening fire at a high school hockey game this afternoon in Pawtucket, Rhode Island, killing two and injuring three others, according to police.
This was an isolated incident in some ways. It's tragic.
The teams with players from multiple schools were playing at Dennis M. Lynch Arena, about 5 miles north of Providence. A community still reeling from a shooting that killed two students and nine others at Brown University in December.
It appears that this was a targeted event, that it may be a family dispute.
It appears to be a targeted incident involving a family dispute. Gunshots rang out inside the Lynch Arena in Pawtucket, Rhode Island, Monday afternoon. Chaos erupts as players, coaches, and spectators start running for cover. Officials say it appears the gunman was targeting his own family members. One woman was shot and killed at the rink. Another person died at the hospital. Police have not released the identities of the victims, but say that it was four family members and a family friend that were shot. Three of the victims are still in the hospital fighting for their lives this morning.
The Providence Bruins posting tonight, our thoughts are with all those affected by the tragic events at the high school hockey game, leaving this close-knit community rattled.
What happened here earlier today was a terrible tragedy and an act of senseless violence that we're all dealing with and we see all too often throughout our country. We will do our best to keep the public and the media informed as the investigation unfolds.
So what I can say right now that we have identified the person, the suspect, by a birth name. The birth name was Robert Dorgan. We have also learned that the person does go by the name of Roberta, also uses a last name of Esposito.
My father was a shooter.
What happened?
He shot my family. And he's dead now.
This woman leaving the police station, speaking with reporters, saying her father was the one who opened fire inside of the hockey rink.
He has mental health issues.
Any idea why he would have done this?
He's sick. He's very sick.
He's sick. I mean, judging by the montage, I mean, our guys put this together, but at least there's a little more honest reporting up front. Yeah, Robert is now Roberto, or Roberta, whatever. Robert is a woman. But he's sick. So says a family member. And she saw it up close. In the last days, God says that this earth is going to be filled with violence, just like it was before the flood of Noah's day. And again, I've referred to Genesis 6 multiple times in recent weeks. But just look at the way technology spreads so much evil and violence over the earth so quickly. I mean, Noah's time, who knows how spread out human civilization was, even if there was a billion or 2 billion people at that time. But you would think it's probably more in the, you know, the Middle Eastern region and maybe beyond somewhat. But now here, the whole earth, and we've got, what, 8 billion people? And it doesn't take but seconds, not even that, for violence, for promiscuous sex, illicit sex, and so many other dark themes. You look into the world of transgenderism, and nothing is darker. People opening their minds to the devil. You go back to Noah's day, though, God destroyed the world with water, an earth-wide flood. He baptized, Peter talks about the earth being baptized. It was cleansed from sin. There was just one family left. As I said in class last week, I mean, think of the advantages for human civilization coming out of the flood. You've got a righteous patriarch in Noah. Noah lived for 350 years after the flood. Think about that for a moment. It's easy to just think about the 600 years before the flood. And then it all kind of culminates, this glorious life serving God in building the ark and surviving the flood, miraculously protected from the flood. But Noah was alive for centuries. And it all started with his three sons and their families. And how different it could have turned out had their families looked to righteous Noah. Instead, you just get a couple generations in, you know, Cush and then Nimrod and then this Babylon, this pagan Babylonian system, and then the Tower of Babel in Genesis 11, and then bam, we're right back to where we were before the flood. What does this say about human nature? How hard and stubborn it is, how insistent it is to go its own way, to reject the laws of God. And then you fast forward to where we are today. I mean, following the flood, God sent a rainbow, or he gave the sign of a rainbow to Noah that he wouldn't do it again. Not with you know, a covering flood of water. There's a flood of fire coming. We read about that in the New Testament, but I'll save that for another time. But here the rainbow is a symbol. It's a symbol of God's promise after that worldwide destruction, following worldwide or universal sin. And how satanic is it for the devil and his demon army to hijack the rainbow as a symbol of this new, perverted, sinful lifestyle that's spreading over all the earth? Oh, yes, the rainbow. I mean, it's seen not as a sign from God. Let's take God out of the picture. Let's remove God from the equation. But now it symbolizes LGBT and all the rest of the letters that come after it these days. Lesbianism, transgenderism, homosexuality. I mean, just glorifying Sodom and Gomorrah. What must God think? I mean, we've taught, my father makes the point in the Lamentations booklet, the new one that we just finished a few months back, how that Satan loves to taunt God. He's so twisted and perverted in his thinking that even still, he thinks he can somehow overpower God and destroy God's purpose and plan. He's wrong. It's not going to happen. His days are numbered. But here he is now waving the rainbow in God's face and in the face of everyone else. No, I've got the rainbow now. I've got the symbol for what's righteous. And what I consider to be righteous is the spreading of sin and filth over all the earth. My way of thinking, my deranged lifestyle, And he's spreading it out there for sure. You see it all over the place. This is from, trying to find it, getting a little ahead in my notes here. April 2023 Trumpet, the dangerous rise of demonism. Two transgender men, this is from a few years ago, dominated world headlines by dressing as Satan for the Grammy Awards. One up-and-coming singer, also transgender, has the name of his favorite demon tattooed to his forehead. I think one of these shooters, not the one from over the weekend, but the one from a few months back. You had the Canada one more recently, as I covered last week. But the one from a few months ago, he had a picture in his journal. He had himself on this side. He's got a rifle strapped to his back. And then he's looking in the mirror. And who is he viewing in the mirror? Satan, of course. I mean, you can't get any more overtly into Satan worship than this particular lifestyle. I mean, human nature is deceitful and wicked above all things. And we all have it. And we all have to fight against it. But there's some perverse lifestyles that just open the mind wide to the devil and demonic influence. And that's what we're seeing. And so here we have another school shooting. And we'll move on until we hear about the next one. It says here, perhaps the most blatant evidence of demonism is seen in the rapidly rising transgender movement. Tomorrow's news today. I mean, you get some pretty good conservative commentary when things like this happen about just how evil and perverse and twisted and warped transgenderism is. But you don't get what you get at the Trumpet magazine. If you don't have a Trumpet subscription, make sure that you call our operators and request a free one-year subscription. There's no cost, no obligation. Completely free. And you get it for 1 year. Perhaps the most blatant evidence of demonism is seen in the rapidly rising transgender movement. And the article cites 1 Timothy 4, verses 1 through 3, where it talks about doctrines of demons. Did you know demons have doctrines? They have teachings? A doctrine means teachings or instructions from God, if it's God's doctrine. But if it's doctrines of demons, their teachings are in their instructions from demons, from Satan. Yes, Satan has his educational agenda as well. As Herbert Armstrong explained in his book, The Missing Dimension in Sex, God created marriage and family for human beings for a profound purpose, to teach us wonderful truths about our potential to be born as sons of God. The demons have neither this potential nor the ability to reproduce themselves, and so they hate it. You can see why they target this community in particular, the LGBTQ community. Because family is not upheld. No, just the opposite. It undermines family. It destroys family. If everyone got caught up into this lifestyle, I mean, what would happen to the human race? Well, it's kind of obvious. LGBT individuals, especially transgender ones, are heavily represented in other open manifestations of demonism. I mean, that's just the truth. That's the truth. There's been three, as I say, that we've counted. August 27, Robert Westman, he opened fire at that Catholic church in Minneapolis. Remember that one? I mean, it seems like years ago now. That was just back at the end of August. And then you've got the Canada shooting. Last week, Jesse, who said he was a girl, who said he was a woman, and now you've got Robert, who goes by Roberta. I mean, what are we doing to ourselves? In the Telegraph, it says here, a source at the Alcohol, Tobacco, Firearm Bureau said the gunman killed his wife and shot three of his children. Police have not confirmed the identities of the victims. A woman seen leaving the Pawtucket police station said the shooter was her father, who has mental health issues and was very sick. He shot my family, and he's dead now. You saw that in the montage there. In 2021, Dorgan was divorced by his wife a year after he told police he had undergone gender reassignment surgery. In 2020, Dorgan told the Providence Police Department that he had undergone gender reassignment surgery and that his father-in-law wanted to kick him out of his home because of it. The earth was filled with violence, and we're certainly seeing that. Back to that Trumpet article, it says there's a spiritual reality behind the rise of demonism, but there are other direct causes. Certain behaviors open up the mind to demons, and these are on the rise. See, Satan's broadcast, it affects everyone, Ephesians 2:2. But as we bring out here, there are certain behaviors that open the mind. I mean, it's wide open to demonic influences. And these cases are on the rise, and the stats bear this out. It's time for us to wake up and to see what's happening to our nations, to see what we're doing to ourselves, to see what, in many cases, we're encouraging. I mean, these are the kinds of lifestyles that Obama and the Bidens and all these radical leftist Democrats, they are promoting and encouraging actively. And here you have the dear leader on TV over the weekend just talking about how good everything is, or at least how good human nature is. Certainly not Trump, certainly not ICE under Trump, but you know, for the most part, human nature is pretty good. This is clip one.
I'm traveling around the country as you're traveling around the country. You meet people. They still believe in decency, courtesy, kindness. So the rogue behavior of agents of the federal government is deeply concerning and dangerous. But we should take a moment to appreciate the extraordinary outpouring of organizing, community building, decency, neighbors buying groceries for folks, accompanying children to school, teachers who were standing up for their kids, not just randomly, but in a, systematic, organized way.
All right, the man was cut off from the tree of life in Genesis 3, and we've been partaking of the tree of good and evil, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil ever since. There's some good in there. It's limited to the human capacity for good, which is innately selfish. But there's so much evil. And that's what people like this gloss right over. Yeah, people are buying groceries for one another. People are taking their kids to school or friends of their kids. What about the spread of evil? And then the only criticism he has is for, again, Trump and ICE. As if the ICE raids underneath Obama's watch were just perfect. Then you throw in the media and the things they spotlight under Trump and the things they covered up under Biden, under Obama. Well, Biden too, obviously. Listen to this clip three.
I don't want us to simply duplicate the behavior of the other side. I don't want us to have a slash and burn strategy where we don't care about rule of law. We don't care about some of the guardrails around our democracy. We start lying and having no regard for the truth the way the other side seems to be comfortable with right now. Because if that's how we fight, then we lose what we're fighting for.
Okay, it's the easiest commentary here is that you're the liar. But just to step back and to look at both sides, to look at their worldview, to look at what they consider to be good and what they consider to be evil. Everyone has a different definition, right? I mean, as I said, the Trump administration is out there saying everybody's invited to the Board of Peace. Everybody's welcome. We will put anyone in there, even if you're a terrorist organization. Doesn't matter because, look, dialogue can bring peace. And here's the dear leader for his part saying, everybody that I ever associated with, I mean, we were as pure as the driven snow, righteous through and through. You see why we need God's perspective. You see why we need the Holy Bible. This is, I mean, the Bible is the instruction manual that God sent along with his product. I was just reading this morning. Look at Psalm 119. This is why I bring my hard copy. In case something pops into my little brain. Psalm 119 in verse 33, it says, teach me, O Lord, the way of your statutes, and I shall keep it unto the end. If you look at the Hebrew for end, a lot of times it's translated reward. I mean, teach me your ways, and I'll hold fast to it, and there's a reward at the end. But, I mean, there's also a reward right now for pleasing God, for obeying God. And those rewards come in the form of blessings. But we need to be taught. And you know, the other thing that is interesting about the Hebrew language here is the word for teach in verse 33, it's also translated as shoot, like an arrow, or aim, or fire. That's the way God's truth is. It's active. I mean, it talks in the Bible about the truth cutting and piercing. Because God's word is like a sword. You see why we need the sword. You see why we need God's instructions. You see why we need God's take. He says it's a present evil world. I mean, it was evil before the flood. That's why I sent the earth-wide flood. Now, after the flood came and gone, I sent a rainbow as a sign. There's never going to be a worldwide flood again. And then Satan hijacks that symbol. And he slaps it on the LGBTQ community. He taunts God. He hates God. He hates God's purpose. He hates the fact that God is a family. He hates the fact that God's reproducing himself. Genesis 1:26. God has to show us what's wrong with the human heart. Proverbs 14:12, a memory verse, it says, there's a way which seems right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. It seems right, sounds good, everything's going to work out. I mean, Board of Peace, what could go wrong? Look at the name. $5 billion put toward, you know, rebuilding Gaza. What could possibly go wrong with that? Well, Hamas still has guns. That's what. Here you've got President Trump meeting with Bibi last week, and they're talking about peace with Iran. And then Bibi leaves the meeting, and then he goes and at another conference says, you can't trust Iran. They lie. They cheat. So who's right? Well, on that point, Bibi's closer to the truth, much closer. Because they do. They lie and they cheat. It's their lifestyle. It's their way of living. Where do they learn that way? Who taught them that way? Proverbs 30 and verse 12. There is a generation that are pure in their own eyes and yet is not washed from their filthiness. Does that ever describe our world today? And the different factions and political parties and nations and communities. You listen to them talk, and I mean, more and more, the arrogance and the vanity, it's not even really concealed in any way. It's just overtly thrown out there in your face. Hey, yeah, I'm pretty good. We are pretty righteous. Now, you got to watch out for that bad guy over there, but, you know, for the most part, look at what we've done. Look at our history. Look at what we've accomplished. To which God says, look at what's happening right now in front of your face, whether it's at the hockey arena or at that small school or town in Canada. Galatians 6 and verse 3 says, "For if a man thinks himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceives himself." So many people are just, they're operating under self-deception. They're deceiving themselves. They think they're righteous, when in fact, there's just filthiness through and through. Pride is filthy, even if it's a patriotic kind of pride. It's still filthy. It's still a love for yourself, for what's yours. It's still selfish. And the Bible says pride comes before the fall. Play more from Obama's interview. This is clip 4.
The reason I started with reminding ourselves, yes, we have a harder job, because sometimes I think we're tough on Democrats, saying, why aren't you being as mean and tough and nasty as they are? Well, you know, it's when I was president of the United States, I suppose I could have simply unilaterally ordered the military to, go into some red state and harass and intimidate a governor there, or cut off funding for states that didn't vote for me. I could have exercised that prerogative, but that is contrary to how I think our democracy is supposed to work. And I think we shouldn't get discouraged by the fact that we have a tougher job.
Democrats are nice and courteous, and Republicans are, mean and nasty. Okay, got it. I think Sam Livingston brought this out yesterday. He's out there encouraging these protesters, showing up to protest with loaded weapons, resisting arrest, interfering in the arrest of another. That is nice and courteous. And for ICE agents to defend themselves or to uphold rule and law, I guess that's mean and nasty. But just coming back to his administration, well, I guess I could have done this kind of thing, but we were just too righteous. If you don't have America Under Attack, make sure you request a free copy. You can call our operators today. The 800 number is right there on the screen. In that book, my father says, President Obama launched 5 times more drone strikes than President George W. Bush did in half the time. One of these targeted and killed an American citizen. Yeah, we were just so nice. We were just so courteous. The DOJ leaked a 16-page document to NBC showing that Obama's administration assumed power to kill any American citizen it considered a threat, even on American soil. And yet you hear the dear leader today, we hardly used our authority. We just operated on a kumbaya kind of love song. And everybody was happy and there was so much peace. He left office in 2016, or 17, I guess it was. Completely revising the history. Examples of his abuse and executive power included the Fast and Furious scandal. You remember the gun running operation that ended up factoring into federal agents being gunned down? Yeah, Obama and his wingman, Eric Holder, they were running that operation illegally, but who cares? It's Obama. You think this reporter that's sitting down with Obama, do you think he cares about these abuses of power? No. It only happens on one side. He stopped enforcing parts of America's immigration law. And then, of course, once he got, the fake president installed, then it was all set aside. I mean, the border was wide open. That was Obama going in for the kill shot. Fundamentally transform the United States of America. During first term and second term, he had to be more subtle about it. He had to work, you know, inch by inch by inch. And, you know, ICE was still out there doing its thing because, you know, Obama had to appear tough if he was going to be reelected. Or if his handpicked successor was going to be reelected. And Donald Trump disrupted that, as we know, in 2016. And then once they completed the successful election steal at the end of that dreadful year, as Rush Limbaugh says, 2020. Then it was like, throw caution to the wind. We are going 120 miles an hour with this. And millions of illegals just poured into the country. It was an attack. It was an invasion. These were Obama's soldiers. Ah, man, I could have used some. How did he word this? Well, when I was president of the United States, I suppose I could have simply unilaterally ordered the military to go into some red state and harass and intimidate. Believe me, he did some unilateral actions. He took some executive actions that were authoritarian and dictatorial. He weaponized the deep state. He weaponized the DOJ and the FBI. Look at what he did after he left. The way he went after Donald Trump, just nonstop, even after Trump was silenced. Pelosi and company went after Trump to impeach him after the fact. Because they didn't want him to ever, ever come back into the world of politics again. And it looked like he was done. He was silenced, President Trump. And we were the lone voice in a wilderness saying, no, he's coming back somehow. Some way. Obama authorized military action in Libya in 2011 without first consulting Congress. Trump does it. He's Orange Hitler. Obama does it. Well, he's Obama. He must be right. 2012, he appointed officials by bypassing Senate confirmation. On January 16, 2013, Obama signed 23 executive actions on gun control. How can we ever forget when he said, hey, who needs Congress? I've got a pen and I've got a phone. Well, there's Obama, though, saying, I suppose I could have taken unilateral action, but, I just didn't work that way. Sure. The scandalous acts, this is in AUA, the scandalous acts Obama and his administration perpetrated are too voluminous to count. And then it gives a relatively short list. You can't even keep track of them all. Now, the truth of it is, he's been exposed, and he can sit down there with, an ally in the media. You know, he's on the same team as Obama, so he's not going to ask any hard questions. Everything's going to be a softball. But he's been silenced. He's been silenced. He's laughed at. He's ridiculed. He's mocked. People see him as anti-American. And so you can come along and try to revise the history, but it's not working as well as it used to. Back in the day when swooning was at peak level. Listen to clip 5.
If we recognize that typically the arguments in the Democratic Party aren't about core values, but are really around tactics and how do you get stuff done, now we can have a robust debate. And I want a robust debate.
Yeah.
He wants debate. He wants independent thinking. He doesn't want conformity. Certainly not. No. Says the man who surrounded himself with swooners. Nobody challenged Obama. He came in, remember, and said, this is going to be the most transparent presidency in history. And he would come in, he would handpick certain ones to give prearranged questions in some cases. They certainly did that for Otto Penn. And then he would leave. I mean, you could hardly get to him. Every day he's going out to the press pool. He's taking questions from anybody. He's a liar. He was surrounded by swooners. And back when everyone was swooning, even many conservatives, you know, it was covered up. But now it's not so much. No, I've got more. I just want to squeeze this in. Enough with the dear leader. The Wall Street Journal, this was Friday or Saturday, Another ho-hum headline that we can just, you know, dust off and move on from. A German general prepares his country for war, and the clock is ticking. What? A German general? Germany? You know, the Germany of World War I and World War II infamy? First world Germany? This is not third world Germany we're talking about here. We need to train where and how we will fight, Brewer told the camouflage-clad soldiers gathered around him. We need to be agile. We need a new mindset. They're going to get one. They're going to get a new emperor that comes in and has a mind change, and that's going to set the tone for the whole of the German military. We need a new mindset, says this German military guy. It says here, this is the Wall Street Journal, European officials say they need to be prepared to go it alone in the event of war with Russia, a conflict that would define the future of the democratic West. And Germany, the European Union's largest economy and most populous country, is absolutely central to the continent's defense. Ironically, a powerful German military, the bane of Europe in the first half of the 20th century, is now essential to its security in the 21st century. I mean, time, you talk about revising history. Hey, we're 70 years on. Come on. People change. Countries change. And in case you haven't noticed, all the change is for the better because the heart of man is so good. It's so righteous. Here's another case of the delusion that the heart of man, you know, for the most part, it's pretty good. Never mind the history. Never mind the reality of what's happening now. Never mind the dissonance between these two tracks. Everybody's invited to the Board of Peace, and everybody can get in on the arms race in preparation for the next world war. As long as we have the Board of Peace and an arms race, well, surely there's going to be peace over all the earth, right? A lot of people think this way. You can see it. You can see it in their speeches, their actions. You can see it at the Munich Security Conference. You saw it at Davos. He and Pistorius deliberately used the term, I'm skipping ahead, which carries extra weight in German. Unlike the American English language, where war is waged on everything from drugs to poverty, the Germans reserve Krieg for armies fighting armies, and it plucks a nerve in a country still scarred by its history of militarism. In other words, we're not just using it as inflammatory rhetoric, you know, the war on drugs, or just generalizing it, really. Well, I mean, we're talking about armies fighting armies. That's what we've got to prepare for. That's what we need a new mindset for. It says here, frustrated with the pace of change last year, Brewer started to give money directly to battalion and brigade commanders so they can buy off-the-shelf commercial drones and other equipment so they can experiment. In the future, Brewer predicts every rifleman will need to be a drone pilot. They've got to be versatile. They've got to move with blitzkrieg speed. It says, when I need a moment for myself, when there are really hard decisions, I like to go there to get my head straight, Brewer says. In the end, you see why you are doing this for a stable and bright future for all Germans. A stable and bright future. Is that what we're looking ahead to? Or is it something altogether different? Something much, much darker. We've got all kinds of literature on the Holy Roman Empire, the Holy Roman Empire and prophecy. If you haven't gotten those brochures or booklets, make sure you call our operators and request your free copies today. And also subscribe, if you will, to Tomorrow's News Today, the Trumpet magazine. That's all we have time for on today's show, the fastest moving hour in broadcasting. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily. Thanks for joining us today, and we'll see you tomorrow.